Surprise! It's a bonus episode to honor what would have been Norm's 94th birthday. December 20th, 1926. Happy birthday, big guy. This time, the Vault of Silliness has gifted us with a tape from October 7th, 1990. It was simply labeled, One Great Hour of Norm. I mean, I may be biased, but aren't they all great hours? There are a couple of callers that mention how nice it was to have Norm back and how things are going for him at WBZ. If I recall, this was about the time WBZ made some wacky decisions. They replaced David Brudnoy with the syndicated Tom Snyder and also started airing infomercials that cut into and in some cases replaced air shifts for some on the weekends. I think it was the infomercial thing that replaced Norm on Sundays for 2 hours, but due to listener support with calls and letters to management, Norm was back. Okay, here's what's coming up. I was producing, and we had the marvelous Lou Ambrosino in traffic. Callers featured here are Bill, the jazz tuba player from Newton, talking jazz. George in Quebec, who gives me a shout out. Thanks, George. Joe in New Hampshire, who's a full-time musician, and it's revealed that Norm knows his dad. Fred from Boston has some jokes. Florence from Westboro, Namen! And Pat on the South Shore closes it out with a great call that touches on, among many things, that he was a national skiing champion who continued to ski even after losing a leg in a car accident. Other highlights? We hear about a couple of Norm's fantasies. Norm reads an alluring weather forecast peppered with ridiculous drop-ins and sound effects. Lots of oohs, ahs, and kisses. And the commercial Wayback Machine gives us Sears Siding, Fiberall, and a Dr. Howard Smith in WBZ AccuWeather promos. Plus, Norm barely gets through reading a Eucalyptamint commercial. Before we get started, as I put this episode together, we have more than 700 views on YouTube. Now that's 700 more than I thought I'd ever get. I want to thank you all for listening. Keep liking, subscribing, and sharing. And lastly, whilst I was checking analytics, I discovered that we have one or more listeners in Germany. Guten Tag und Danke.
Good morning from the WBZ 24-hour traffic network. I'm Lou Ambrosino. A check of the roadways right now. Just picking up word of a motor vehicle accident on the lower deck of 93, just near the Tobin Split. We'll keep you posted on that. A couple of motor vehicle accidents to report this morning on the Mass Pike heading eastbound. First accident at Interchange 13 in Natick. We have some injuries involved. Expected delay there. Second accident just before the Prudential Tunnel right in the right-hand travel lane. Do watch out for that. Elsewhere traveling in the city, you're not in too bad a shape. We're seeing very light volume on the expressway heading north and southbound. Sumner Callahan tunnels, those are wide open to and from Logan this morning. And the River Road Store Drive, Mass Ave Bridge, and Memorial all moving well. I'm Louis Ambrosino, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
It'll be clear, moonlit, and pleasant early this morning, the low 62. Later today, plenty of sunshine, breezy, and very warm for this time of the year, the high 83. Partly cloudy and mild tonight, the low 62. And the outlook for Monday, variable clouds with a shower possibility, the high 69 to 73. Looking ahead to Tuesday and Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a chance for showers, the high on Tuesday 65, the high Wednesday 61 to 65. That's the exclusive WBZ AccuWeather forecast from your official weather station. I'm meteorologist Bob Lerner.
Temperature right now is 65 degrees.
The Norm Nathan Show continues on WBZ. Join in the conversation by calling 254-5678. The area code is 617. Now, back to Norm Nathan.
Okay, thank you just so darn much. I am that person, and we have a couple of open lines. Let's go first to Bill, who's in Newton. And hello to you, Bill.
Hi, Norm. This is Bill, the jazz tuba player from Newton.
Hey, Bill, the jazz tuba player from Newton. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, listen, I'm really delighted to hear that things are sort of settling down for you over there at DZ.
They're going very well, as a matter of fact. We're all very pleased about it.
Yeah, because I don't know if you feel comfortable knowing that you're a great institution in the city of Boston. That's
it's very hard for me to take that seriously, but it's nice. The words flow nicely. I like the sound of it, even though I can't identify myself with the words.
Well, you and I go back to that all-night show you had with the jazz show. And
oh, these sounds in the night show.
Yeah.
That was one of the happy times in my life. We mentioned the show so much, and I'm really flattered about that. A lot of people mentioned, and a lot of people listening, I'm sure, have no idea what that program is we're talking about. But it ran from, it goes way back. Did you sound too much too young? You must have been about 12 years old at the time.
I was in high school in the 50s.
Really? Because yeah. Most of our audience was, the listeners were college kids and people in their mid-20s. So you were obviously a child prodigy.
That's right.
We didn't, kids in high school at that time, we used to kid about them liking bubblegum rock. I forget what bubblegum rock was.
I studied trumpet, and I started playing trumpet. I was a child prodigy of sorts, because I started playing in about the second grade, and I was a Louis fan.
Yeah.
And I used to even like in fourth and fifth grade, I used to listen to his and copy his solos and that kind of stuff.
That's great.
On those old Columbia recordings that we had, W.C. Handy and those albums, Bethesda Sat.
Yeah. He did some nice stuff with Jack Teagarden.
Right.
One album at Symphony Hall and old rocking chairs got me. I just love that.
And some stuff with Velma Middleton too. That was good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fat Velma Middleton was always kind of. Anyway, she was not a particularly attractive lady, but she could really sing. She sang well. Yeah.
And the two of them had such nice chemistry together.
Yes, they did. Of course, in later years, people would say, well, you know, of course, his really creative years were when he was a lot younger.
Yeah.
But by that point, or soon after that, he became more of a nightclub entertainer than any innovator in jazz. Why am I giving you this lecture? You know more about this than I do.
Yeah. And I wanted to straighten out that lady. She really didn't win that $5 on the time in Arizona. Arizona is one of about four states that does not observe daylight saving time.
Oh, okay. So as a result, let me see. Spring ahead. They don't spring ahead. They
stay the same. So they're right now, while we're still doing daylight saving.
Oh, so we're 3 hours different.
They're 3 hours different.
Okay. And when we go, no. Okay. Then apparently she did not lose the bet.
Right.
Okay, that's the confusion then. The entire state of Arizona stays on the standard time year round.
In fact, it's a little more complicated than that. And I found this out because I was out there a couple of years ago, and I was staying on an Indian reservation, it's a Hopi reservation in the northeastern part of the state. The Indian reservations do because they're independent territories of sorts. They can do what they want with the time and their own laws and so on. The Indian reservations do observe daylight saving, but the rest of Arizona does not.
Oh, I see.
The state is sort of split that way.
Now, okay, so I gave her the wrong information. It is 3 hours, and it will change to 2 hours.
Right.
Now, what were you doing on an Indian reservation?
Well, I was working, this was about 6-7 years ago. I was working for an organization called SAD, Students Against Driving Drunk, and I used to travel all over the country to high schools doing drinking driving lectures, that sort of thing, and workshops with the kids. And one of the places that I happened to go was this reservation up in a Hopi reservation, a little town called Chinle, Arizona, tiny little town. It was a beautiful, beautiful section of the country. Mm-hmm. And there I was. It was sort of an odd experience. I was the one white person in the whole territory, being totally surrounded by.
Yeah. How did they accept you?
A little suspicious, you know.
Yeah.
I'm coming in there. I'm sort of, you know, I suppose they might have concluded that I was sort of moralizing and giving them all this, you know, I was going to tell them what to do or something. I don't know. I kind of felt that some of that as I walked around. It was. I happened to bring my son with me, David, who was about 12 at the time, and it was really quite an eye opener for him, because he was still in junior high school and really intimidated, you know.
I can picture that. I remember driving through Arizona.
Yeah.
We drove through mostly Navajo Indian territory,
right.
And you're talking. I'm sorry. What?
Well, there's two reservations in the northeastern part of the state. There's a small Hopi reservation, which is surrounded by a Navajo reservation. It's up kind of, you know, just a little bit east of the Grand Canyon.
Okay. Okay. This was quite a number of years ago, but I do remember taking some pictures.
Yeah.
Of attempting to, and they were not very happy with that, and I had to put the camera away and forget about that.
Yeah.
I can't remember whether or not that was a superstition, or somebody said that within Indian custom, taking a picture is like removing the soul of somebody.
Well, I think some of the maybe the older generation, some of the traditional thinking, it does, I think, go in those lines. When I was out there, I'm not a big cause person, but I got the real sense that the United States is really still sticking it to the red man, you know.
Mm.
And I think that's unfortunate. We've done enough to minorities in this country, and I think that you don't get into heavy duty editorializing on your show.
But no, but I think this kind of a thing is quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's we're still stealing the red man blind that this government is, and not just the government, but the white man and in general, and I think it's just a shame. That has to go on that way.
Tell me about the tuba. I forgot. Are you a full-time musician?
Well, I was originally a trumpet player. I go back. I have an undergraduate degree in music from BU. I used to do a lot of Dixieland jazz back in those days and trumpet. And then I kind of switched off to tuba because I had some opportunity to work in a nightclub, an old club in Boston from years ago called Your Father's Mustache.
Oh, sure.
That
sure.
was down below the Charles Playhouse on Warrington Street. And so I, right about 64, I switched over, and I sort of kept it up. And I found out that I really was a better tuba player than I was a trumpet player because I had monster chops because I could play screech tuba, very easily.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of fun. And so I used to do a lot of Dixieland, a lot of... And then we got into German band stuff and whatever was around, I've sort of been away from it for a while, and I do miss it because I know that you're being I don't know if you're a musician yourself, but you certainly have kept the jazz thing alive around.
Well, no, I just like it a lot. I diddle at the piano a bit, and I used to play the violin some when I was a kid. I'm not a musician.
But it's a very fulfilling kind of thing. And
I would think so, yeah. I would think it would be a great rewarding thing to be able to play, particularly well enough to play with a group and play in a club and all that kind of business. It's got to be what a great, lovely thing. No, it's always been one of my fantasies, as a matter of fact, to be a great jazz trumpet player.
Yeah.
I have these fantasies about walking into a jazz club, and maybe you're up there during the gig, you and your gang, and you see me come in and you say, Hey, Nathan's here. Did you bring your axe? And I say, yeah, it's out in the car, because you musicians always have your instrument out in the car, don't you? Always carry. That's right. It's out there, and I go get my trumpets, and I put it now all together, and it comes time for my solo. You're all laid back, and you're giving me a chance to really blow.
Here it is. Yeah.
And here it is, and I'm, all the notes are just going, and they're glorious, and people are sitting there, they're so excited. They just have... It's like listening to Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Exactly.
And I finish, and there's a stunned silence because people don't expect.
Yes, they don't know what they
did. They don't quite make that. Where did that God's music come from? And then they burst out to a cheers, and they stand, and they, all that kind of stuff. And that's my fantasy. And as I mentioned once, I remember. I don't even know where the spit valve is on a trumpet. So what right have I got to have fantasies like that?
Hey, well, listen, you don't have to know where it is. It's your fantasy,
That's right, too, yeah.
I heard Maynard when he was out in Worcester a few months ago. He came into town, blew into town, and I think he had a one-nighter out there. Maynard Ferguson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Dave Maynard. I thought,
Oh, no.
Does this guy have some musical talent that I'm not aware of? Oh, Maynard Ferguson. Okay. I know musicians always talk with first names.
Yeah.
And normally I can follow it, but not unfortunately, but coincidentally, we happen to have a Maynard here on the
staff.
Yeah,
stand. Right. Well,
so that threw me off a little bit.
But he was, getting a little long in the tooth, I'm afraid, but he had a phenomenal band with him.
Oh, yeah. The last time I caught his band, he was appearing along with his band, along Buddy Rich was there with his band.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, they joined bands.
Yeah.
And they were really something.
Yeah.
Lenny Sogoloff, who used to run Lenny's on the Turnpike, put this night together.
Yeah.
I guess he has a big band thing each year in order to, at least he used to raise funds for Christmas lights for the city of Lynn. Anyway,
right.
And that night he booked both of those two bands, and that was really something to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. The big difference I found between Maynard's band and Buddy Rich's band are both phenomenal bands, but Buddy Rich, for all his talent as a drummer, was a tremendous egotist.
Oh, did you notice that?
Yes, it sort of leaked out of the sides. You know?
That's right. He tried to hold it back. Now, I love Buddy Rich. I thought he was, and I really miss him a lot. And he used to show up on shows I did all the time.
Yeah.
We get along very well. But, I mean, to deny that he was an egoist, life.
You know, everything revolved around him. And that was the difference between him and Maynard. Maynard, his whole show was shaped around featuring different individuals in the band.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Duke Ellington band. In fact, Duke Ellington would write pieces specifically from members of his band.
Right.
And all that's true. But Buddy Rich was the flag waver guy. Everything was. He would take long drum solos. They were exciting to watch, but I'd never been a big fan of drum solos.
Yeah.
I figure it's supposed to be a rhythm instrument, keep the band kicking and all that kind of stuff.
He had this tremendous talent. Guys like Don Menza was with him, but on tenor and Ernie Watts on alto, and that band he had when he was out at Lenny's on the Turnpike years ago, that old place up there.
Yeah.
And God, the guys would just blow and blow and blow. It was so exciting to be there, and it was like Buddy Rich, never really even mentioned their names or really gave him any credit. I knew a guy who was supposed to go out there and replace his bass player one day, and Buddy Rich didn't want his original bass player to leave, and finally talked him into coming back. And when the sub showed up, he just threw him out.
He was not
Charm was not among his.
No, he was not Mr. Charm. That's true. And he would stop. Sometimes he would stop. I saw him one time. He had a long piece that became his signature at that time. I can't think of what it was.
Probably Channel One Suite was one of them, and the Leonard Bernstein show.
The West Side Story. That was another one, and I thought there was still another one he did. In any case, he was playing something, and somebody yelled out, I think they might have said, do West Side Story.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mr. Charm, Rich, loved being yelled at from the audience so beautifully. He stopped the entire band.
Yeah.
He stood up and faced the audience and said, I'm not going to play if you're going to be. But he said, I'm saying it like a gentleman.
Yeah.
I mean, he really blurted it out with great anger.
Yeah.
And he just stopped, and it took a while before he decided he'd sit down at the drums and continue.
Yeah.
But that steely look that he gave, almost like Benny Goodman when they called him the Ray because of that Ray like look he gave in a musician he felt had goofed.
Yeah.
Buddy Rich would give that same evil look to the entire audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And to a musician also who he felt was not performing up to par.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting man. Anyway, you're fun to talk with about music. And I obviously, because you know what you're talking about. And that's nice. And you let me talk a lot and ramble on, and I appreciate
that. Listen, I will tonight, after we hang up, I will have a fantasy that you come on the bandstand with my group.
Would you do that?
I
haven't decided what the song is going to be. Do you have any ideas?
Maybe Green Dolphin Street.
Yeah, I can start out slow.
Yeah.
This way I can tug at your heartstrings. I really, really just grab you. Whether, you know, the tears will well up. Oh, yeah, I remember it was Mary. I met her in San Diego. Bring back. And then I start to wail and play notes that aren't even on the trumpet, like exactly. Maynard Ferguson, way up and all over.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll have that same fantasy. We can play in the same band for a little bit.
Great.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, bye-bye. My other fantasy is also being a fleet of foot center fielder, hard-hitting player for the Red Sox. And I always had the idea, when I was a kid especially, I used to have this fantasy where I would be in the stands. Can we do a sound like a PA sound here, you know, a delay thing? Okay, not just yet. I'll tell you what, Tony. I'm in the stands, see. I'm a kid. Still a kid then. But I'm in the stands. And suddenly, over the PA system, the center fielder, I can't remember who that was Dart Kramer, or maybe somebody in later years, maybe Dom DiMaggio, my hero, because he wore glasses, too. Suddenly, over the PA system, you hear the announcement. We are in desperate need of a center fielder. We happen to know that Normie Nathan of Everett is in the bleachers. Would you please come out and help out the team? So I step out of the stands, and I go to bat. You know, and I'm still wearing my knickers and my Argyle socks that you used to wear, the Argyle stockings and stuff. Maybe one of those sweaters with the deer antlers on the front, and a little cap. And I'm at that. And I'm standing at the bat. And the ball is whistling past me by the opposing pitcher. I can't remember who that was. And unfortunately, when I'm having a jazz fantasy, I'm playing magnificently. When I'm having a baseball fantasy, I always strike out. So the music is quite appropriate. The crowd is cheering, and they, you know, and they're just loving every moment of it, and I just can't get a hit. Anyway, that's another one of my fantasies, and one day I hope they come. The awful thing about growing up is you finally reach the age where you know it's too late for you ever to become a great baseball player. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm tipping my hat to you. Hey, I just fantasized they hit a home run. I'm tipping my hat to you while I go into the dugout, and I'm coming out from the dugout doing the same thing. Anyway, we'll take some more calls if you're still interested, if everybody hasn't hung up, in just a moment.
Sears Siding announces their fabulous fall sale, a special offer for homeowners who would like to say goodbye to house painting forever. If you're concerned about the condition of your home's exterior, call now for a free estimate on quality Sears vinyl siding, as well as coverings for eaves and overhangs. You'll save 15%. Just call 1-800-872-8600. Sears Siding experts will analyze your home's exterior, give you a free estimate on pure vinyl siding that has the natural look of freshly painted wood. Sears Siding is guaranteed not to dent, chip, peel, or fade. Whether your home is wood, brick, stucco, or stone, Sears Siding will make exteriors virtually maintenance-free. And you know that Sears is a name you can trust. So call now and you'll never have to paint again. Call 1-800-872-8600 now and save 15%. Offer expires October 31st. 1-800-872-8600. No obligation. 1-800-872-8600.
So what are you doing today? Busy at work, running errands, maybe lunch with friends, shopping at the mall? No matter what your day has in store for you, if you're constipated, you probably feel like you can't do anything. You're feeling sluggish and slow. It's awful, isn't it? But if that's how you're feeling, a fiber laxative like Fiberol could make you feel like yourself again. With Fiberol, you don't have to put your day on hold for constipation. Now, you may have heard of original Metamucil, but did you know that it's almost half sugar? But sugar does nothing to relieve constipation. It's the fiber that does all the work, and that's why Fiberol has no sugar. Instead of sugar, Fiberol adds bran, another healthy fiber. And Fiberol really works to keep you regular. You can find Fiberol at Stop and Shop. With a day like you've got today, you can't let constipation get in your way. Remember, if constipation is slowing you down, Fiberol can really help. Pick up some Fiberol today at Stop and Shop. Dr. Howard Smith here, wishing you a delightful three-day Columbus Day weekend. I'll be off call, relaxing and fighting stress by enjoying the fall foliage. Filling in for me will be Dr. Larry Barsh. Tune in and call in bright and early this Sunday morning from 7 till 9, just before first day, right here on WBZ AM 1030.
What's with that music? Does that music fit a doctor? Is that kind of like doctor music that I'm not aware of? Oh, is that from Ben Casey's theme? Is that it? And before that, that's kind of a nice tie-in. Before that, Tom Kennedy talked about constipation. And then we go to the doctor. You know something? I'm not feeling too good myself. Hey, but the music is making me pick myself up and feel just so great. The exclusive, they wouldn't make me do the constipation commercial because I happen to be the sex symbol. Sex symbols don't do that. The exclusive WBZ Acure. I love you. I love you, baby. Here, have some of my Fiberol. Would you like it straight or on the rocks? Oh, gee. Exclusive WBZ Acure weather forecast from meteorologist to Bob Lanner. It's kind of hard for me to keep my mind on the work here, honey, when you're wiggling like that, sweetheart. Oh, you look just great, man. Oh, boy. I'm so glad there's a moonlit night out tonight. Warm temperatures at 65 degrees, and you, sweetheart, you're okay. The outlook for this coming day, lots of sunshine, gusty breeze. That sounds like a stripper, doesn't it? Gusty breeze. Tempest storm, eh? Anyway, the gusty breeze, high's about 83 degrees. Monday, Columbus Day, variably cloudy and cooler. Maybe a shower, but not terribly cool. Still in the low 70s.
Oh, you got that coffee? How you really?
That adds a lot to the music, doesn't it? 65 degrees in Boston now. Yes, swing it, baby. Keep playing, sweetheart. Keep dancing, baby.
Oh,
don't do that. Don't do that, honey. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Well, maybe one more time.
Oh!
Yeah, that's good. Oh, I love that. That was a great move you just did. That was nice. Mind if I just sit here and get goose pimply and sweat a lot while I'm watching? Oh, show mercy, baby, please.
Oh!
You have a kind of a limited vocabulary, but I don't really care. Oh, shut up. I think we're driving Lou Ambrosino crazy. Maybe not. Oh, yeah, come on. Sure, it's a big finish. That's... Oh. Oh, this is a big finish, isn't it? So glad to be alive, and I feel like now I really am. Okay, the preceding was a dramatization. Now the WBZ 24-hour traffic network. Let's get serious now. This is serious business.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, this is Lou Ambrosino and his orchestra. Lou?
All right, Norm, thank you. Right now, state police working a motor vehicle accident on the lower deck of 93, right at the Tobin split. That's a tough spot to watch out for. Elsewhere, a couple of motor vehicle accidents on the Mass Pike eastbound. One just before the Prudential Tunnel that has been cleared. And at Interchange 13 in the Natick stretch, we had an earlier accident that has just about taken care of. Back in Boston, slight volume in the Kenmore Square area as the nightclubs and bars shut down, people making their way home. Heading inbound on Storrow Drive, that's a clear sail all the way to Leverett Circle and the 93 up ramp. I'm Lou Ambrosino in the WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. This traffic report is sponsored by the 1990 New England Interior Design Show. 4 days only, now through Monday at the Bayside Expo Center, exit 15 off the Southeast Expressway.
Okay, it's on with the show as we go to George up in Quebec, Canada. Obviously, Quebec, Canada. Where else would it be, George? How you doing, George?
Good, Norm. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you. Are you in the city of Quebec?
No, actually, I'm in Hull, Quebec, up near Ottawa.
Oh, okay, just across the line.
I'm just across the line. I can see the Parliament buildings, the House of Commons, from my apartment here.
But you're actually on the La Belle Province, Quebec side.
La Belle Province de Quebec, oui.
Okay. Are you bilingual?
I'm studying French. I've been studying French ever since I moved out here. I used to live in Prince Edward Island, up in the east coast of Canada.
Oh, I understand. That's really quite beautiful.
We've got the best lobsters in the world.
Really?
You got her.
Oh, that's nice. I'd like to go up there one day.
Yeah, it's a great place, Norm. I just wanted to give you a call. I listen to you almost every night.
I thank you very much. I'm sorry we took us so long to get to you, and I know the expense of the call, and I feel guilty about that, and I appreciate you hanging in there.
No problem, Norm. I just wanted to give you a call. It's really good to have you back again. I'll tell you, you got a lot of listeners up in the capital city here in Ottawa.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. We do get a lot of calls from the province of Ontario, but not too many from your Quebec, even though you're just across the line there. Do you work in Ottawa?
Yes, I'm national director with an organization called Victims of Violence Society. I work with victims of violent crimes.
Oh, now this is a national organization?
Yeah, actually, we're going to be soon moving into the United States, too. I've been working for quite some time now, for a couple of years. One of the things, I was listening to WBZ the other night, and I listened to Dave Brudnoy.
Oh, yes.
And it was refreshing to hear his views on the justice system. I know you people sure have your share of violent crime in the United States. And
we do.
It's sure the same up here. And I'm hoping that our government will begin to take some of the views on justice that some of the states in the United, some of the places in the United States have taken.
Yeah, we have a victims... I forget what it's called, but a fund to help out victims of violent crime and that is set up in certain areas. Now, how long have you had this organization in Canada?
Well, I started with the organization back in 1987. I was involved down in Augusta, Maine. It's about 4 hours north of Boston there.
Yes.
Back in 1985, I was involved. My uncle's son-in-law is a police sergeant down there, and I was out in the cruiser with him one night, and I found a young girl, 15 years old, who had been brutally murdered by a guy with 3 past convictions out in a day pass.
Mm.
And I've been with Victims of Violence for 3 years now, but the people who started the organization, it started back in 1984, the people who started the organization, Gary and Sharon Rosenfeld, their son was murdered on the west coast of Canada in British Columbia in 1981 by a mass murderer in Canada here by the name of Clifford Olson. He raped and murdered 11 children.
Oh.
Our Canadian government paid him $100,000 to plead guilty to the crimes. And, you know, it was interesting one of the reasons I wanted to call tonight, you know, I listened to, listening to the American news where Mr. Bush's budget proposals have not made it through the Senate, I believe, if I'm correct in that.
Well, it's in the House, actually, right now.
Right. And what's really interesting about that, in Canada here, we're having some of the same budget problems, and yet in Canada, we're paying for university education for our mass murders in this country, and I don't know, I just seems to be an awful imbalance in our system.
I guess there is, yeah. Have you had a chance to get on with David Brudnoy and discuss this at any greater length?
No, I haven't. I tried to get through a couple of times, but I haven't gotten through to him. But I'll tell you, I really enjoy your show. I listen to WBZ all the time, and Tony Shorty's here is a lot of credit, too.
Oh, he does. He deserves more credit, I think, than people realize, but I'm not going to be the one to give it to him, you understand?
Well, I'll give Tony Nesbitt a plug right now, because I think you guys run a hell of a show down there. You've got high ratings up here in Ottawa, and right throughout from here right through to eastern Canada, Montreal and the city of Quebec.
I'm very gratified, and Tony Nesbitt's got goosebumps, I tell you. We appreciate you saying that a lot, George, and thank you very, very much.
Keep up the good work, Norm, and happy Columbus Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Is it square and ignorant for me to ask? I should have asked them. They do celebrate Columbus Day. Oh, this is the Thanksgiving season, isn't it, up in Canada? They do not celebrate Columbus Day. I don't know why I didn't ask him while he was on the phone. Let's talk with Joe in New Hampshire. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Norm. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, thanks.
Listen, I listen to you a lot on the way home from work. I'm a musician professionally, and
oh, are you? What do you play?
I'm a drummer and a singer.
Yeah. What kind of stuff do you do, and where do you play?
We're doing commercial stuff, top 40. I'm working right now at Conigliaro's restaurant in Danville.
Oh, on Route 114.
That's it. Yeah.
That's right around the corner from where I live.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And you travel down from what part of New Hampshire? Where do you live?
I live in Raymond.
Now, see, I know where Raymond. Raymond is up where? Is that near Windham in that general area?
Not really. Well, I'm about 6 miles west of Epping.
Okay.
New England Dragway.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got you. And you, how long have you been at Conigliaro's?
Well, we've been in and out of there. Well, it used to be Natalie's, and we were in and out of there when it was Natalie's, and we still go in and out of there. I'm with Russ McQueen.
I don't know if you ever heard the name. The
name
does have a familiar ring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Do you play a lot of clubs? Are you a full-time musician?
Yes, I am. That's all I do.
Hey, well, that's great. I'm glad that you can earn a living doing that.
Well, anyways, I heard you a couple of callers ago talking about Lenny Sokoloff and various people from the jazz era.
Yes.
And you know my father.
Tell me his name.
His name is Joe Bucci, the organist.
Oh, sure. Of course I know Joe.
Yeah.
Of course I know Joe. I've known Joe for 250,000 years as of next Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, now you play drums? No, you didn't say that.
I play drums and I sing.
Okay. Now, you played with your father's group.
I did for about 7 years.
Yeah, no, I remember. Now, some people have asked me about Joe Bucci. And where is he now? He was up in New Hampshire at one of the restaurants up there, you know, at one time. Well, now, what's he doing now?
Well, he's more or less out of the business. He'll still occasionally take a wedding job or, a concert type of thing. You know, he doesn't do any club work anymore. He's more or less retired.
Is he? Because it seems to me he's too young to be retired.
Well, if you can afford to, why not, you know?
Oh, well, that would be good, too, yeah. Except it was always so much fun to hear him play.
Yeah.
And I know that when people asked me, I didn't know what to tell them. Now they're being disappointed because they can't catch him.
He did a concert recently at the Grace Church in, I forget the town it was in, but it was a good turnout. He sent out his mailing list and saw a lot of old friends that he hadn't seen for years.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
And I talk to him, and I tell him that I listen to BZ, and I listen to you and any other talk show host.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, you know, you should call him some night. He knows me very well.
No, I
certainly
do. Tell
him I said hello, and, you know.
Yeah, the first time I heard your father was at a club in Lynn. This is before Lenny's, because he played Lenny's a lot.
Yeah.
This was in Lynn, and it was right off of Central Square, Spring Street. I can't think of the name of the club. And some people said, hey, you got to go catch this Joe Bucci. You're Joe Bucci Jr., then, I would assume.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got to catch Joe Bucci. He said there was this little club there, and it was delightful. And then...
It wasn't called Your Place, was it?
No, that doesn't sound like
it. Yeah, because there was a place they worked in when I was small called Your Place.
Well, maybe that was it. Maybe.
It's not there anymore.
Off of Exchange Street in Lynn. Anyway... And then at that time, I think Lenny still had his club, but he had the hippest jukebox around. But he had no live musicians at that point. Your father was, I guess, the very first live musician he used, as
pretty
I remember.
Pretty much, yeah. He more or less helped Lenny put the format together for that, Lenny's, the whole jazz format.
Yeah.
Then he made the Capitol album.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, you were, well, you signed your name anyway to an article on the back of his second album.
No, I did write that.
Did you? Yeah.
No, I never signed my name to anything I didn't write.
Well, I thought you may have reviewed it and then said, okay, that's good enough. You know, I don't know.
No. If my name is there, I did write it.
Yeah.
I always hated to have to do it that way, have somebody else write it and just sign your name to
it.
But the first album was This One's for Basie. Was that the title?
It was Wild About Basie.
Wild About Basie.
Yeah.
That's right.
It did pretty good for a while, too.
Yes, I remember it did.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah. And I'm sure I have it at home. Have you got a copy?
Oh, I've got a brand new unopened copy.
Okay, that's great. that's great. Now, what is the name of your group? Is it Joe Bucci Jr.?
No, it's not my group. I work for another fellow. His name is Russ McQueen. And
oh, that's right. You mentioned
that. Yeah, the group is called Natural High or Russ McQueen Trio, whichever, depending on where we are.
Okay.
And when we're working Salisbury Beach, we're Natural High. But when we're working Conigliaro's, we're Russ McQueen.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Hey, it's a delight to talk with you, Joe Bucci Jr.
I listen to you all the time, and I just had to call you and say hi.
I appreciate that. Please say hello to your father for me.
I sure will.
An awful lot of people not only remember him, but look back with great affection upon all the lovely music that he's played through the years.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Okay, Norm.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's nice. That's one of the fun things about doing this program is renewing old acquaintances and all. Although that wasn't an old acquaintance. It's a young acquaintance. Fred in Boston. How you doing, Fred? You're on WBZ, Fred, like it or not. Ready or not.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Fred.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastically well. I can't believe it. I'm pinching myself to see whether it's really me doing this great.
You know, Fred, well, it's Norm. How you doing?
Yeah, so you're Fred, and I'm Norm.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm
Norm, you're Fred.
That's right. We got the scripts got mixed up a little bit when they were delivered to us. Because I got the script that says, I'm Fred. And anyway, what can I do for you, Fred? Are you Norm? No, no.
Wait. No, I'm Norm. You're Fred.
No, I'm a Fred. That's right. Okay.
Oh. I'll stop your nonsense.
If I stopped the nonsense, we'd be off the air. What'd be the fun? We'd end up sounding like the David Brudnoy show if I stopped nonsense.
Would you like to talk politics?
I don't really think I would right this minute. It's 17 before 3 o'clock. We should be talking about beautiful women and going out dancing and drinking a lot and that kind of stuff.
Well, let's shake it, baby.
Okay. Let's shake it, baby. Yeah, okay, that'd be good.
Yeah.
In other words, see if I'm correct on this. I just have this wild feeling, Fred, that you called and had absolutely nothing on your mind to say at all, and kind of hoping that something would come, or I would kind of lead it into some kind of topic, which I seem to be doing right now. Is that correct?
Well, you're correct, Norm. But the thing is, you said that I have nothing on my mind, but I don't have a mind to.
No. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, that wasn't a personal attack on your intelligence. I didn't mean that.
No.
I mean, he had nothing specific to speak of is what I meant.
No. I have a couple of jokes.
Couple of jokes, eh?
Yeah.
I hope they're as good as Robert from Everett and his wondrous jokes. But, hey, that's a whole other thing, and I've made myself nauseous just bringing up the subject. Okay, hit me with one of the jokes. I tell you what to do. Could you tell this joke up to the point of where the punchline comes in?
Okay.
And see if Tony and I can guess what the punchline is. Would that be good?
Okay.
Okay, go right ahead.
They're pretty simple. All right.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Jack.
Okay, Fred. Fred, you're Fred. Okay.
Okay. Why did the chicken cross Harvard Square?
I see. This is a riddle. You would have asked. Okay. Why did the chicken cross Harvard Square? Now, the fact that it's Harvard Square, of course, is obviously significant in the answer. Now, what happens at Harvard Square that's why were we not saying, you know, to get to the coop, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you
that
got it.
Tony Nesbitt came up with that one. Yeah, that to get to the coop. Hey, good. That's right.
Okay. All right. Okay. You got that one. Okay. So I give you number one. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Now, number two.
Norm. Okay. Go ahead, Norm.
Okay. Now, next one, Dad.
Yep.
All right, Dad.
Oh, there's another guy coaching him.
Yeah, that's my dad.
You got a guy who's got no honor, and you don't know who you are. This other guy's got the script, and he's prompting you. Okay.
Do you actually think I could make one of these things up myself?
Yes, I would think so, Fred, because you've got a rapier-like wit.
Poor.
No, your mind is like that. It's sharp. It's sharp.
Thank you.
Okay, hit us with the next one.
All right, what else?
Okay.
Okay.
What happens when something? Okay.
Okay. What happens when ducks fly upside down?
They quack up.
They quack up.
Oh.
Okay. We got one more.
One more.
Okay.
Okay.
Why do the skeletons want to get out of the cemetery?
Say that again, please.
Why did the skeletons want to get out of the cemetery?
Why did the, Tony and I are going to work on that write-off. Why did the skeletons want to get out of the cemetery? Because they were dead? Because it was kind
terrible,
of, because the whole place was too dead for them, or because they were bone weary, or?
Because no one wanted to get out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why did the skeletons want to get out of the cemetery? Because no one wanted to get out?
No, they had no guts.
Oh, I see. They had no guts.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. I think we could put that in a different context. When we say that, I don't mean overly analyze these cockamamie jokes, but if you said, why did these skeletons...
They are cockamamie.
Why did the skeleton not want to walk down a dark alley in the city at night? Then you could say, because he had no guts. See, that would fit, wouldn't it, a little bit better than... Maybe it would. I'll work on that, and I'll present it as part of my paper next week. Fred, you're okay, and I appreciate the call. What's the name of your friend over there?
Dan.
Dan. My best to you and Dan, Fred. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, Noah.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's kind of nice, isn't it, just to let your hair down for one moment and just have some really raw, wild, ribald fun. Okay. 2545678. Is this Florence from North Carolina who's on the line now? Because I think she had... There's another Florence. Okay. Hello, the other Florence.
I'm Florence from Westboro.
Oh, that Florence. Florence from Westboro. How you doing, Florence from Westboro?
This is Norman.
This is Norman. That's who's talking.
Norman, I'm another one of the people that loved you and wrote and called, and I guess all our letters and calls did good because you're back.
Yes, they did. They did remarkably, wondrously good, and I appreciate
that's
it.
Great, honey.
I thank you very much.
What I called for was the man that was on just before the man you finished with about Joe Bucci.
Yes.
That's his son?
That's Joe Bucci Jr. That's his son,
right.
Yes.
Okay, and I was so surprised. I had five children, and I had Joe Bucci's band back in the 60s for two of my children's weddings.
No kidding.
Oh, and this was, I'm telling you, the best weddings
we ever had. What a nice thing, because, to have a band that's swinging and everything, what a great treat that would be.
Oh, he was wonderful.
Yeah.
And was he popular at that time?
Yes, he was. He was tremendously popular.
Norman, could I have a picture of you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because you asked.
I'm an elderly woman, 80 years old, but I love you.
Well, hey, that's
It's all right. I know Norma. I read her paper.
Okay, I tell you what. I'll turn you over to...
I'm a widow, so you don't have to tell her not to worry.
She's going to worry anyway because you sound like a kind of a sexy witch, Florence. So just turn it off. I tell you what. Hold on. Tony Nesbitt will take the information and I'll mail it out, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Florence.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Tony has the call, taking the information while I look around for what I'm supposed to do next, and I think I found it, and I'm just so darn glad. Some letters from real people with real pain. No, that's... Do we have a pain scout that goes around looking for people with pain to talk about here? These are people actually who've discovered the wonders of eucalyptamint, the all-natural pain relief ointment now available at all Walgreens drugstores. Here's a man from New Jersey writes, excuse me, Marilyn, sweetheart, would you hand me that letter? No, the one from me, Matt from New Jersey, that one, thank you.
It was awful.
What was awful, the handing me the letter or the letter itself? Well, let's check the... Oh, the pain was awful. Oh, I see. Oh yeah, it says, gentlemen, I am 79 years old, loaded with aches and pains, plus bone chips in my knees, and it was awful. It says so right in the letter, right here. I've been retired on disability since 1972. It's no time to laugh. It's no time to laugh. This man is suffering.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
I beg your pardon. Who am I supposed to ask that of? Some Herald reporter or what? Oh, that was hitting... No, I was going to say below. I don't think Adam Paul finished that sentence. Anyway, I think I'm getting so silly that I'm totally out of line. I've been on retired on disability since 1972. Okay, when my doctor told me about eucalyptamine, I went to the store and bought some. At the time, I could not raise my left arm, only just the level with my belt. Now I can swing my arms around in circles. What does he want to do that for? What is he? Is he working to be a baseball umpire or what? Why do you have to swing? Well, anyway.
No, I just like to do it because it cools off the room on a hot, humid, sticky summer day. Sure, I have a small amount of pain, but nothing like it was. Thank you so much for your product. It really does the job. It's signed Woodland Bound of Keensburg, New Jersey. I think this is the very reason why I lost several jobs at more serious radio stations, particularly when I was doing the news and giggling a lot. Anyway, I think I lost my place. Chiropractors and therapists also like eucalyptamint. Its warm, cool comfort penetrates fast and deep. Over 2,000 of them purchased all-natural eucalyptamint for use in their own private practice. Satisfaction guaranteed, or eucalyptamint refunds your money. And now at the pharmacy counter at all Walgreens drugstores, ask the Walgreens pharmacist for 100% all-natural eucalyptamint. Look at this. What's the way? Do you see the way I can swing my arms around at a fast clip? So watch the way I do it right in back of me while my left foot is kind of circling furiously. That's because of eucalyptamint. Yeah. Before that, it used to be so painful when I was doing that I could hardly stand on my head and imitate a Dutch windmill. Thank you.
What mentalities do these men have?
What has that got to do with anything? Incidentally, in the next hour, and I'm telling you this so that you can anticipate the excitement of all of this, in the next hour, sometime Tony will come into the studio here, and from his master control position in our plush but not overly ostentatious master control studio where he produces this swell show, and he's got some questions he's going to ask on horses just to show you that I have no idea what I'm talking about, even though I do have some animals. So that's something for the next hour. 254-5670. We'll take another call right after this, but first.
They say if you don't like the weather in New England, just wait 15 minutes. Keeping up with New England's changing weather can be a challenge. Keeping ahead of it is an even bigger one. That's another reason to depend on WBZ AM 1030. WBZ's exclusive AccuWeather forecasts will let you know what's going on and what you can expect. No one gives you more weather information than WBZ. Nobody gives you better weather information than WBZ. Radio you can depend on. WBZ, AM 1030.
1030, WBZ, Boston.
Okay, let's talk with Pat down on the South Shore. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Interesting show as usual.
Thank you. I try to make it
as much as I used to. But
I try to make it as educational as you know, and as serious, facing the issues of the day as much as I can.
Well, I was up listening, and I heard you say maybe somebody would call in and give you an explanation of the holiday time. And I spent quite a bit of time in Canada as a professional skier, and I designed skis and lived there for a while in Eastern Canada.
I went
to Calgary, and I was up late working on a family tree, and I happened to have a series calendar of several years in a row. And on the back of it, there's a list, and there's some interesting dates on there that they celebrate in Canada that we don't. They celebrate many that we do, like, you know, New Year's and Ash Wednesday.
Do they celebrate Columbus Day?
No, they don't. But they have a Canadian Thanksgiving on that same day.
Oh, I see. Okay, so Canadian Thanksgiving is when?
It's the first Monday in, the second Monday in October.
So this coming, this is the Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah,
or is that next week?
Yeah, exactly. For example, the calendar I'm looking at happened to run years 83 through 86. And if you look across, it lists all the different types of holidays. And then when you get down the list and you run across to the dates, it ran Monday, October 10th, Monday, October 8th, and the 14th, and in 86 it was on the 13th. So it appears to always be on that Monday.
Oh, I see.
And then, then they have a thing after that in November, always around the Monday or Tuesday. It varies. It's always November 11th. Whatever that day falls on, and they call Remembrance Day. What that is, I don't know. Those are the last two holidays they celebrate in the year that we don't. They
that sounds like
U.S. Thanksgiving and Christmas Day.
No, because you said November 11th was Remembrance Day. Maybe that corresponds to our Veterans Day, which used to be Armistice Day.
Yeah. The first holiday I ever became familiar with that Canadians celebrated also happened to be something I became aware of from skiing up on Mount Washington. And the third weekend in May is what they call Queen's Birthday, and it happens to be Victoria Day. That's always the third Monday in May. But they have a Robert Burns Day they celebrate up in January, on the 25th of January. He was a writer, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yeah. And then they go to Victoria Day that I mentioned, and then they have a thing called Dominion Day, and that's our Independence Day. I've been up to Toronto for a four-day party with friends from Canada. But they call it Dominion Day as opposed to Independence Day.
Now, when is
well,
that?
Well, we refer to 4th of July. You know, that's July 1st.
Oh, there's a July 1st.
Always July 1st, right.
Do they really whoopee it up on that day?
The thing about Canadians I've learned from living there and spending a lot of time with them, they have a different demeanor when it comes to play and work. If they're having a good time on a Sunday night on any given week and they decide they aren't ready for work Monday morning, they don't go. And
really, is this
a big deal about it?
Is this generally the case?
Yeah. But I have been up there for Independence Day, and they spent 4 days in Toronto at a private home with a pool and with people camped out. I drove 10 hours, so he said, "You deserve a bed." But they had it's a friend of mine that owns a film lab and have a very large home, and so I had a nice cushiony bed. But beautiful home and big backyard with orchards and place to play tennis, and they have tennis courts and toss footballs around and go swimming.
Oh, that's nice. And here you are back to reality on the South Shore. that sounds like it was
a
great
life. I've traveled a lot throughout the world. I've skied with pros from 29 countries. I've coached Olympians. I still like New England. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I like New England a lot too. I envy the fact that you have those great skills as a skier.
Well, I didn't develop any of it until I was 21 years old.
Really?
I never skied. Yeah.
Now, do you compete with skiing right now?
Well, it's funny you say that. In 82, I got hit by a car, lost a leg, and I won a national championship the next year. Then I went back to college for 5 years.
Okay, so, now what are you doing now?
I ski on one leg. Well, I'm in the process of working on a ball for the U.S. ski team here in New England. It'll be in November. We try and raise $100,000 every year for the U.S. ski team.
Do you ski on one leg?
Yeah.
Do you have an artificial leg?
Yes, but it's in the way. When it comes to skiing, I can ski much better just with one ski.
Oh, so you take off the artificial leg and just ski with one, and you can balance yourself and, you know.
Oh, candidly, I've been in the Canadian Nationals. I won at the U.S. Nationals in 83, and then I went back to school in 84, but got hit in 82. A girl went off a highway and took my leg off.
Oh, gee.
And I was innocently parked on a side road.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And anyway, just trying to make the best of it. But I ski a normal skier today that was 6 feet tall. They might ski 6-8 inches over the head max. And in the alpine events, the downhill event itself, I ski a 225-centimeter ski, which is a 7'7" ski, which is a foot and a half over my head. Mm. And I can turn that on one leg. I bent 60 miles an hour on the downhill course.
Oh, jeez, I really admire you. I want to talk to you more about it. I got to get going because we have got to make the network news, and they never wait for us.
Well, we'll be in touch.
I hope so, and I appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for all the information, Pat.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Tony Nesbitt is our producer. I'm Norm Nathan. 254-5678. We'll take some more calls right after the news.
Boston, WBC, Boston, the spirit of New England.
Wherever news is happening, depend on WBC's award-winning news team to bring you the story.
WBC Boston.
Group W Radio, a Westinghouse broadcasting station in stereo.
Group W Radio, Westinghouse broadcasting in those heady days of AM stereo.
Excuse me while I enjoy the last bits of this birthday cake. And hang on, I gotta have some coffee. I've always said you can never have enough cake. Well, or fudge for that matter. Thank you. Hope you enjoy this bonus broadcast because now it's time to close the vault and ride those radio waves home. For Dr. Howard Smith, Dr. Larry Barsh, Lou Ambrosino, and the birthday boy himself, Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.